إن الإسلام بدأ غريبا وسيعود غريبا كما بدأ، فطوبى للغرباء.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كافها يا عين صاد، ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا، إذ نادى ربه نداء خفيا، قال رب إني وهن العظم مني واشتعل الرأس شيبا ولم أكن بدعائك رب شقيا، وإني خفت الموالي من ورائي وكانت امرأتي عاقرا فهب لي من لدنك وليا يرثني ويرث من آل يعقوب واجعله ربي رضيا. يا زكريا إنا نبشرك بغلام اسمه يحيى لم نجعل له من قبل سميا.
It feels nerve-wracking. It feels like
the first day.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are back. Welcome to the Strangers Podcast, where we talk about our experiences as Muslims living in the West. And you know what they say, Amin?
Glad tidings to the strangers.
Glad tidings.
I'm not going to lie. You said that as if, you know, we've been recording
week
to
week. I know, bro. That was perfect. I was ready for it.
Mashallah, man. But man, how you been though?
Alhamdulillah, man. It's been a while since I've seen you, brother.
I know. It just disappeared in the middle of Ramadan.
Mr. International, Allah. So yeah, this is going to be an interesting episode because it's going to be more like an interview-like episode. I personally saved all my questions for this episode. I didn't ask you anything. Mm-hmm. I didn't say, how is it out there? Nothing. I didn't even check up on you.
Yo, I'm not going to lie, bro. I was home for a couple of days. I'm like, this guy didn't even hit me up.
Well, I had to experience your stories with everybody
Alive.
Else.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it better. But
yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So how's your Ramadan in general?
La Ramadan, alhamdulillah, bro, was amazing. The first half.
I can only imagine.
The first half, you know, I was here in the city, and you know, alhamdulillah, it was going good. And the second half of it, of course, you know, in the Holy Land, alhamdulillah, bro,
mashallah, nothing like it.
But how was yours? Because,
well, this Ramadan is like I said, it happened. It went by very fast, you know, because it just time flies. You're working.
Yeah.
And you try to, you know, incorporate your, let me say that again. Alhamdulillah, this Ramadan, alhamdulillah, you know, that's all I can say. It's been a while, bro. Yo,
you know who you're moving like, bro? You're moving like cat. You're moving like
yo,
cat.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, man. All I can say is, yo, we did it, man. We did that Ramadan.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Don't kill me. Okay, hold on. Let me get back.
Let me sit up right.
Hey guys, I'm for sure. Yo, I can't do this, man.
Blood, tears.
I have to get myself ready back. No, I can't say alhamdulillah anymore.
I'm gonna just assume you had a nice Ramadan.
Oh my gosh. Whew. Yeah, alhamdulillah, man. All I can say is alhamdulillah, wallah, because this Ramadan, I focus more on the quality of it over the quantity, because most Ramadans I feel like, oh, I got to read this much as I can. Or, you know, I got to, you know, do this much dhikr as much as I can. It's multiplied and stuff. But this time I actually focus more on like how I feel while I'm doing the dhikr or while I'm reading the Quran or when I'm praying salah. Because I don't know about you, but I get distracted so easily.
Yeah, you know.
And even during my salah, like the ADHD kicks in, you know? Like this Ramadan, I tried practicing like, you know, like to lock in, really focus. And you know, it helped when I did it when I was by myself in prayer, you know? So like I'd be praying and then I would just think to myself, like, I'm serving my purpose right now. You know, I'm being submissive to Allah, you know? So yeah, I learned a lot, you know, this Ramadan. I learned the witr du'a, finally. Because, yeah, it hits different when you...
When you know it,
In English too, you know? So no more like, you know, getting emotional at the du'a itself.
Yeah.
And actually knowing what you're feeling while reading it, you know?
Yeah, so, following along and understanding it, yeah.
Yeah, this Ramadan, I definitely learned a lot that I didn't know the last Ramadans. And yeah, it was very good.
How was Tarawih and Tahajjud?
Wow.
And did you go to Farooq a couple times, catch Abdullah?
I actually went both. Noor, Farooq, I went to them. Mm-hmm. And both of them hit differently. Like the vibe of one masjid is different than the vibe of another, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, and there's times where like I didn't go, but I would do like Tarawih by myself.
Yeah,
I'll do Tahajjud by myself. And now that I know what to do, I'll do it like just with myself or my family, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was very beautiful.
Yeah, and definitely that's a forgotten sunnah too, to pray Taraweeh at home or Qiyam al-Layl.
Yeah.
Tahajjud at home, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't have to pray all of them in the masjid.
Yeah, and there's a different vibe doing it, you know, in congregation or just doing it with yourself.
Yeah.
It's more intimate when you're alone doing
definitely,
it.
Definitely.
You feel like your connection, you know, is directly to you and Allah.
Yeah.
Not like a bunch of people sharing it with you, you know?
Yeah, for me, Allah, I feel the same way. Sometimes I like to just, you know, lead myself and just be praying, you know, the night prayer by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I feel like what I prefer a lot is listening to someone else recite.
Yeah.
The reason why I prefer that is once I started understanding the meaning of the Quran, I feel like I have like, it's easier to follow along when you don't have to worry about what you're reciting.
Yeah, your tajweed, you know? Or
your tajweed, how you sound. Not making a mistake,
knowing
what the next ayah is. Mm-hmm. So instead you can just focus in on actually what the meaning of the verse is, you know?
Wow, I didn't even see it through that perspective. Because me, I'm more likely, I'm not the one leading, right?
Yeah.
So you're usually leading for the most part, so it's like a role.
Yeah, bro, it's crazy. Everyone tries to push me to lead.
Yeah. Well,
I prefer to be behind the imam.
MashaAllah.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's good, Allah. That's good. And how was Eid?
Eid was nice. Oh, yeah. You were in there this Eid. Yeah, oh, man. MashaAllah. It was very nice. The vibe was back, you know?
Yeah.
It's like every Eid is, all right, Eid is back.
Yeah,
let's see everybody's nice fits, all the smiles on the faces. You look on, you know, social media, you see how, you know, everybody's dressed up, what they're doing. I like how creative people get with like decorating their houses.
Yeah.
And like how they go about it. So yeah, pretty solid. What about yours?
Romano is completely different. Completely different than what I was used to, you know. Alhamdulillah, it was Ramadan itself was amazing. And Eid, I got to spend it in Medina.
MashaAllah.
The city of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Wow. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
And I was there with my brother Abdul Shakur.
Mm-hmm.
And it was literally just me and him. So it was a completely different vibe, bro. Me and him just bonded. We just had a nice Eid together in the city of the Prophet.
You know? Nice black chemises.
Yeah. Wearing those, you know, customs. These thobes is different, bro.
Wow.
Different type of drip.
Drip. This time you're wearing the thobe and I'm not, huh?
Yeah. You know, I had to. I had to represent.
MashaAllah. Okay, so let's get into it, bro, because I have so many questions.
I know, and
I hope you have so many answers, because you were there in the Holy Land, MashaAllah.
Wow. Yeah. Wallah, it's still surreal to me, bro.
So, okay, my first thing is, like, what made you want, like, how did you prepare for that? Because, like, I feel like it happened so suddenly, you know?
Yeah. Well, bro, to be honest,
did you plan a long time on it, or like, and like, didn't tell anyone, or did it just, I want to go all of a sudden?
Thing was, it was somewhat planned, but at the same time, it wasn't. Well, I, subhanAllah, when I really think about it, it goes back to last Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
So last Ramadan, I was making a lot of dua, and this specific dua that I was making, and I was asking Allah to give me a chance to go to Umrah. But I was asking Allah to go to Umrah in winter time. And subhanAllah, instead Allah gave me something better than that, which was getting to go during the month of Ramadan. Because I was hoping to go, like I never imagined to go do Umrah during the month of Ramadan. You know, I never, like I always felt like, you know, it was expensive. It's kind of hard to do. But subhanAllah, you know, Allah accepted my dua and gave me something even better.
MashaAllah.
And during the last 10 nights, obviously, that's when you're the most giving, right? That's when you give the most sadaqah. So as I was giving sadaqah during the last 10 nights of Ramadan, that's the dua that I was making. I was asking Allah to give me a chance to go perform Umrah, to get invited to the house of Allah. And so fast forward, it was about, I want to say November. So my mom reached out to me.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, this is the first time I've been to Umrah, and my mom hasn't been as well.
Okay.
So my mom hit me up in, like, I want to say October, November, and she's like, there's a group that's going to Umrah during Ramadan. I want to go. So deep down, I'm like, okay, you know what? I don't know how my finances are looking. And, you know, I have to, like, you have to plan for something like that. But my mom was just like, oh, it's like the spots are filling up fast. Let's just give the deposit. It's a non-refundable deposit that you had to drop. So I'm like, man, I don't know. And I always felt like when I was going to go to Umrah, it was going to be like a whole process, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't going to be so like, oh, okay, let's go to Umrah, boom.
Yeah.
Let's just drop a deposit. So I gave my deposit and my mom's deposit. So now by like October, November, in my mind, I'm going to Umrah during Ramadan, but I had nothing to go there with.
Wow.
So it's just kind of like, okay, let me just give this a deposit and hope for the best. Now, fast forward, I want to say, and then what I told myself, so as we got closer to the time where like the deadline to pay, which was about in February, I had like almost no, I had nothing to my name.
Wow.
I didn't have anything to pay for the Umrah. Now, the only thing that I was going to rely on was my taxes.
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to get something from your tax return. So I'm like, okay, hopefully if I get like a decent amount, then I'll add a little bit extra money. And inshallah, you know, hope for the best. So the masjid emailed me, because when you give a donation, they email you like a tax receipt for the donations that you gave. And I'm not going to lie, once I saw like the number that I gave, I was surprised. Like, I didn't even know I gave that much. Like, throughout the year, it's not just during the month of Ramadan, but they give you a tax receipt for the whole year, right? Well, I looked at the number and I'm like, when did I give this much?
Yeah.
And subhanAllah, bro, when it came down to doing my taxes, before adding the tax receipt of the donations, I wasn't getting much back. As soon as I added that, bro, I had enough to pay for the Umrah and to pay for some of my mom's Umrah as well. Wow. And to have pocket money.
Wow.
It's crazy. SubhanAllah.
So it goes to show, like, you know, if you give sadaqah, Allah's gonna, you know.
It came back in a way that I would never have imagined.
Wow.
And then on top of that, it just put me at ease where I'm like, okay, not only do I have my Umrah paid, but also I have, you know, like I was able to help my mom out.
And you're comfortable.
And I'm comfortable. I'm sitting at a good place, you know?
Yeah.
And bro, imagine that's like the end of February. So now, something that was planned in like October, November, but in my mind, I still didn't see the vision that I'm going. That's what I mean by like, I didn't really get to prepare or feel like I'm going to Umrah. So now, early March, I'm leaving at the end of March. So now it's starting to hit me, but not Ramadan. Sorry, I didn't leave end of March. I left early April. So end of March, Ramadan comes in. So now, you know, as the days of Ramadan are going, I'm working, fasting, praying Taraweeh. So the days are just kind of going by fast. So I don't even get the chance to really prepare for Umrah. But like, it just happened and boom, the next day I'm flying to Mecca. So yeah, there wasn't too much preparation behind it, but deep down there really was. So the route of me going to Umrah came from a dua that I was making the past Ramadan, that alhamdulillah Allah accepted from me and gave me more than what I even asked for.
Wow, subhanAllah.
Yeah, bro, it's amazing. And then, wallah, it just goes to show you the power of dua.
Wallah.
And I had full belief and certainty when I was making that dua that I was going to go. But at the same time, while it was happening,
in your head, it was
in my head, it's like, no, there's no way. No.
Yeah. Because you know what? When something's too good to be true,
yeah,
like you don't get your hopes up
until
it actually happens.
And the crazy part, bro, even the thought of going to Umrah during Ramadan felt like that was a crazy big deal. But wallahi, actually living it and being there during Ramadan, wallahi, bro, I can't even.
When
I
you
can't
were there, you were probably
how amazing that was.
You were probably like cherishing every moment, huh?
Bro, subhanAllah, every day was like just flipping a page and part of like the most beautiful journey, you know? And wallahi, bro, every day I felt like I was there for like, it felt like, alhamdulillah, the nice thing was my trip was 3 weeks. So I got to stay there longer than most people were. But wallahi, I just felt like I was there for months. Like the way you felt like the days went by fast, I felt like the days went by super slow.
Yeah, I can tell.
There's like this barakah, there's beauty. Imagine I get to be in a place where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first got the revelation and where Islam was established. And on top of that, I don't have work. I don't have responsibilities. My whole day is revolved around just worship.
MashaAllah.
So you could just imagine, like, you're surrounded by other people who are in the same, you know, like, mindset as you. Everybody came here for ibadah, to worship Allah. And, you know, there's brotherhood there. There's people that you just meet that, well, we met so many brothers that, you know, just said salam to them, got their names.
Did they know who you were?
I might never. No, I'm talking about like some people knew me and some people didn't know me. But I'm talking about just like regular interactions of you just bump into people and you're like, assalamu alaikum, where are you from?
Wow.
This one brother, his name's Ahmed Sudani. Shout out to Ahmed. But he randomly saw us and he's like, yo, I can tell someone is from the West. Like, I could tell a foreigner the minute I see them.
What?
So, like, he knew we were from the West. Basically, the way we looked. And he's like, you can easily tell them apart.
Is it because of the way you were dressed? Or were you...
It's not even the way you're dressed, because everybody's wearing a thobe, right?
Yeah.
But there's just something. It's true.
That's crazy. Like, aura.
There's an aura. There's a vibe.
Yeah.
Where, like, you see someone and you're like, I know.
Did he hear you talk first? Or he just...
No, he just saw us. He just saw us.
That's either a very good guess or...
Yeah. And then, because we asked him, we're like, how do you know? He's like, you can tell when someone's from like the West, you know? And then there's a brother from the UK. And wallahi, bro, this guy was just vibes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we salaamed him, exchanged numbers. Like, sometimes you exchange numbers, sometimes you don't. And it's just like, the next time you see each other, hopefully it's going to be in Jannah.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of brotherhood and that kind of bond that you build.
The connection you build with someone when you're traveling is a different type of connection.
It's different. Imagine that connection in the most holy place in the world.
SubhanAllah.
Like it's nice. That times like a million, you know? But SubhanAllah, bro, the whole experience was amazing.
Yeah, well, that must have been quite the experience. But run me through, like, your first moments once you entered Makkah, you know, like once you got there, like how was that?
Yeah, actually, I'm gonna take you a couple steps back. Okay. So before you enter Makkah, when you're gonna go do Umrah, you have to be in a state of ihram. And the ihram is you wear a top garment and a bottom garment. Okay. And the crazy part, bro, is you actually don't wear anything under. So you're not wearing no boxes, no underwear, and you can't wear a hat. And you have to wear shoes that are open toe. So, and that we put it on. So our flight was from Toronto to Cairo and then Cairo to Jeddah. So we put it on in Cairo because as when you fly in to Jeddah, while you're on the plane, that's when you make the intention that you're starting your Umrah basically.
Okay.
And the minute you start that intention from there, like you can't cut your nails, you can't cut your hair. Like there's a lot of like restrictions on things you can't do. Can't put something on your head. And yeah, then you're in the state of ihram until you finish the Umrah. So imagine, so in Egypt, you put on that top garment, bottom garment. And the crazy part was I didn't put on, you're allowed to like have like a belt, but I didn't have a belt. So the whole time Bro, it's the scariest feeling. I'm not even gonna lie. Imagine like you're wearing something. Imagine like you're wearing a towel, yeah, and nothing's under,
oh,
and nothing's
gosh,
holding it, but the way you wrapped
oh
it.
Oh my gosh,
it's the scariest feeling. But yeah, so alhamdulillah, we put that on in Cairo,
mm-hmm,
and then right before we got to Jeddah, they let us know that, you know, we're approaching the miqat, which is the point where you're gonna do your intention to make the umrah. Once we got close to the miqat, we made our intention and, you know, we entered the state of Ihram.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got to Jeddah. So once we landed in Jeddah, the leader of the group was waiting for us there. And then we hopped on a bus going to Mecca. So the bus ride, I want to say it was about like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Not bad.
SubhanAllah, like imagine, like we're just, as we're driving by, it's just kind of like a desert. Like it kind of gave me a little bit of Egypt vibes, mm-hmm, where just like I knew I was in like an Arab country, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But when it really hit me was when I saw from far the clock tower.
Wow.
Because the thing is, the clock tower is so tall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Kaaba is very big too, but now it's like surrounded by so many buildings.
Yeah.
and hotels and stuff. So then once we got to the hotel, I want to say we got there about like 3 p.m., then, you know, we got into our rooms, put our stuff away, and we ended up taking a nap.
Because mm-hmm,
imagine now we've been traveling for like a day and a half almost, right? Coming from Canada, it's a long trip. So alhamdulillah, you know, we took a nap. Then the time that we were going to do the Umrah was at midnight of that night. So this was April 7th going to April 8th.
Okay.
So Friday going into Saturday. So now our hotel, it's supposed to be about 15 minutes from the Haram.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, it takes about 15 minutes to get to the area of the Haram. And even getting inside where the Kaaba is, that's another like 15, 20 minutes. So the first time we were going towards the Haram, it actually took us 40 minutes from our hotel to get to the Haram.
Is there a set time you have to get there by, or?
No. So for the Umrah, like they told us to book it through an app. To be honest, nobody was checking. There's way too much people to check booking on the app. But so basically, there was Taraweeh happened before that. Taraweeh happened around like 9 o'clock after Isha.
Yeah.
But obviously, because that was the day we were coming, we didn't get to go to Taraweeh that day.
Mm-hmm.
So the plan was, we're just going to go do our Umrah. We're going to pray Fajr and come home. So alhamdulillah, as we're walking towards the Haram, we're doing the Talbiyah, which is saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. You're basically saying, oh Allah, I am here.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine every step that we're taking, every time we're saying that, it's really hitting you because you're actually getting closer and closer to the Kaaba.
SubhanAllah.
And like, this is the place we're praying towards our entire life, right?
Yeah.
So now it's like, we're getting closer to that, to achieving it. We're almost there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And SubhanAllah, the crazy part though was, because it was so much people and the Umrah, as like we walked in, the way I first like laid eyes on the Kaaba was basically, imagine as we're walking and we're just saying the Talbiyah, and you're supposed to say it until you see the Kaaba, and then once you see the Kaaba, you stop saying Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. And imagine I'm just walking and I don't notice, but to my right there's like a little opening.
Yeah.
And in that opening, I could see the middle half of the Kaaba. And it was, SubhanAllah, it was a crazy feeling. But I'm not going to lie, once I laid eyes on it, because like imagine it's like you're looping around,
mm-hmm,
and then we're trying to get to the dome, which is like where the actual Kaaba is. So we're trying to get to the main floor. But where we saw it from was like kind of a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I could see the middle part of the Kaaba. But the minute I saw it, I didn't want to look. I'm like, man, no, I'm not looking at it till I'm actually like there. So mm-hmm, I got a little glance of it, but I really wanted to see it and take it in right in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then we started doing the Umrah, and SubhanAllah, the Umrah during Ramadan, there's a narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the Umrah during Ramadan is two narrations. One says that it's equivalent to Hajj,
mm-hmm,
doing Umrah during Ramadan, like the reward of it. And another one says that it's equivalent to doing Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's when I really got to understand what that meant, because of how difficult it is to actually do the Umrah during Ramadan. It wasn't even while you're fasting. It's just the amount of people that are there and the physicality of it is actually difficult.
Wow.
Like, imagine we started the Umrah, I want to say like close to 1:30. And by the time we were done, like the last thing, the Fajr was, it was Fajr time. Wow. So it took almost like 4 hours to do the Umrah. Where I think normally outside of Ramadan, maybe in like when it's like a slower season, it's a little bit easier to do. But during Ramadan, bro, I'm telling you, it was so physical that I didn't really get the chance to take in the Kaaba.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was the first time for me seeing it was during the Umrah, I didn't really get the chance to take in. Like I got to see it and I got to realize like where I was and subhanAllah, I got emotional. But at the same time, while you're doing the actions, you don't really get the chance to take it in.
Why physical? You mean like there's a bunch of people surrounding
you?
There's
a lot of people and people are bumping you.
Mm.
Like, I don't know if you saw the videos or if you saw the pictures, but yeah. There's like barely any room for you to walk.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine I was there too with my mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to make sure that she's good. And but wallah, it was very physical. Like even for me being relatively young and playing sports, wallah, I felt it.
Wow.
Like by the end of it, my feet were sore. I was tired. And subhanAllah, wallah, it just goes to show you that Umrah itself is not something that is light.
It's a tough task.
Doing it, it's physical. Yeah. It's physical. And alhamdulillah, I managed to do Umrah 3 times.
MashaAllah.
2 times for myself and 1 time for my grandfather, Allah Nahrisa.
Mm-hmm.
But all 3 times, alhamdulillah, I was able to touch the Yemeni corner. So the Kaaba, there's 4 corners. One is where there's a black stone, there's the Yemeni corner, and there's 2 other corners. But the Prophet ﷺ, the only places that he actually touched during the Umrah was the Yemeni corner and the black stone. So people, they touch everywhere, but what is actually the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ was to touch the Yemeni corner or the black stone and to kiss it if you're able to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to the black stone, I'm going to leave that for later, the story of the black stone.
Okay.
But I attempted to go for the black stone all 3 times that I did the Umrah. But let me tell you, going for the black stone is a jihad, bro. It's a battle and it's crazy. Yeah. But I'm gonna leave it for later, inshallah. Okay. I'm going to come back to that. But subhanAllah, yeah, that first experience doing the Umrah, once we finished doing the Tawaf, the 7 times, and running the Safa and Marwa, and then you cut your hair. And once you do that, your Umrah is complete.
Okay.
We prayed Fajr, then we went home, took a shower, and went to sleep. One thing that's not mentioned enough is the fact that, you know, the running the Safa and Marwa, I feel like that's a million times harder than the Tawaf.
Really?
Like, I feel like that running, you're not supposed to run the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
But doing the Safa Marwa, bro, honestly, that's where you really feel the Umrah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was different during Ramadan or outside of Ramadan, but I really felt the Safa Marwa, whereas the Tawaf, I felt like was a little bit lighter.
Like physically?
Physically, yeah, okay. Physically, yeah. But alhamdulillah, bro, that was the first Umrah. Came home, and you know, that was the start.
Wow.
Start of the journey, you know, the first day. Memorable first day.
MashaAllah. Okay, so what was Tarawih like there in Mecca?
Sudeis, all those top dogs. No, Allah subhanAllah, it was amazing. It's crazy, bro, because on my phone right now, remember I was showing you, I literally have these guys on my camera roll.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going on YouTube. Like, this is in my voice memos, in my camera roll. It's unreal.
Praying behind Sudeis?
Behind Sudeis, bro. A legend.
Wow.
Being there for Tarawih was amazing. SubhanAllah. So my first Tarawih was the night after I did the first Umrah.
Yeah.
And I was introduced to a reciter that I had never heard before.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Sheikh Balida. And SubhanAllah, my first Tarawih experience, bro, I'll never forget it. Because the first surah that he was reading was Surah Ibrahim.
Okay.
And the reason why that's so important is because Surah Ibrahim, the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's the one who pretty much raised up the Kaaba.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine, like, that's the first Tarawih prayer that I'm praying in the Haram.
Wow.
You know? So that's deep for me. And then when he got to the verses, Why, bro? It got me emotional. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says,
وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا.
And when Ibrahim asked Allah to make this place, the city of Mecca, peaceful. Like make it a place of like, you know, peace and serenity. وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. And make me and my children far away from worshipping idols. And then it continues in the next verse.
رَبِّ إِنَّهُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ.
So Ibrahim, then he says, the one who follows me, then he is of me. So imagine I'm in prayer and I'm just taken in, and then he said, and then Ibrahim, he follows it up and he says, woman asani, and the one who disobeys me, who doesn't follow me, فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, that, oh Allah, you are the most forgiving, most merciful. And that's a trait of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where Allah, he said about him, إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَحَلِيمٌ أَوَّاهٌ مُنِيبٌ, that he's so kind, compassionate, that even when people are going to disobey Allah, he asks Allah to forgive them.
Wow.
And then the ayah that really, really got me was the ayah right after that.
رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِن ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِندَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ.
And Ibrahim, he said, oh Allah, because this is when Ibrahim, he left his wife and his son Ismail in Mecca. Allah ordered him to leave. And he said, oh Allah, oh my Lord, I have left my family, my, you know, it was my son Ismail and my wife, I've left them in a barren land, عند بيتك المحرم, where the Kaaba is. So subhanAllah, what was going through my head as I'm there praying is, at the time, it was a barren land. It was deserted. It was literally just the Kaaba. And now I'm there, and I'm taking in how big this place is, how beautiful this place is, how it looks in front of me, like this, like the way it's developed and the way it's built up, the levels that it has. And subhanAllah, at the time of Ibrahim, it was literally just a desert. People didn't live there, and it was just the Kaaba. And then the part after that where he said that he's left them there for what purpose? رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, oh my Lord, so that they may perform prayer, so that they may pray. As we're in prayer in the Taraweeh, bro. SubhanAllah. I can't explain how that feeling was. It's as if it was the first time I heard those verses.
Wow.
And then I'm also clocking in the fact that at the time, it was just Ibrahim that was there, and now there's 2 million people praying in Masjid al-Haram.
Wow.
So you see, like, the way it started and the way it is now, and you know, you said, Alhamdulillah, that Allah allowed us to be Muslims.
Alhamdulillah.
And that was my first Taraweeh experience, wow, bro. It's Allah. Insane. And this is also a recital that I've never heard of. And wallahi, he was amazing. He was amazing, amazing. If you guys want to look it up, it was the 18th night of Ramadan, Sheikh Balila. If you look him up on YouTube, they have all the recitations of
Balila,
all
Balila, how do you spell that?
B-A-L-E-E-L-A.
Okay, let me give that a look. Wallah, beautifully said, wallah. That was very, very deep.
Subhanallah, wallah. Bro. And that's my first experience, wow, bro. That's why everything that happened, when I really take it in, it's the timing. Everything had a purpose, and there's a reason behind everything.
Yeah, the timing couldn't have been better.
Yeah, wallahi, bro. I don't know if it was just my experience of the Umrah. And you know, I hope everyone's Umrahs is like that, where it's they get their own version of it. Because everyone's story, everyone's journey is different. But I felt like my Umrah was the most amazing thing ever. Wow. I feel like it's I don't know how I can surpass that.
Wow.
But also, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of all things. And as you go through the different umrahs, I'm going to go through briefly how the second umrah and third umrah were different than my first one. Mm-hmm. You'll see that every day in Mecca was a different day.
Wow.
And then it had like a story of its own. And, you know, Allah, it was amazing praying behind, you know, Sheikh Maher, wow, praying behind Sudais. Mm-hmm. This is what I personally felt like. So Sudais was actually not my favorite reciter there. Mm-hmm. Between all of them, he is my favorite reciter between mm-hmm. all of them. But in person, this is who I give it to. So Sudais, to me, a legend.
Mm-hmm.
His recitation was amazing, but a lot of times he wasn't reading too much.
Mm-hmm.
So he did a lot of the witr. So his du'as is unmatched. He has the best du'as. But he wasn't reciting too much. And also you could see that obviously he's getting a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
So his breath, his recitation, he can't read as long as he used to.
Okay.
So like he runs out of breath pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
But Wallahi still sounds amazing. And Sudais is the most like emotional one.
Mm-hmm.
Every eye, he's going to read two eyes and he's going to start crying, bro. It's unreal. But the person that I loved praying behind the most was Sheikh Maher.
Mm-hmm.
Maher, bro, was, even though he was sick for most of the time there, I don't know, his voice just hits different.
Oh.
And really when it hit me that I was in the haram was when I heard him recite.
Mm.
So when I prayed behind him and he was the one leading, I'm like, man, this is Maher. That's when it really hit me. I'm like, that's how I know I'm in Mecca right
wow.
now.
You know, wait, how did you even know he was sick? Like, is it like an NBA player?
Bro, you know, I'm not going to lie. I kind of heard it from his voice. Mm-hmm. And then everyone was saying, your Maher is sick.
Okay.
They're saying he's sick and he's still leading.
Wow.
You know, may Allah reward him and all the reciters there. And Sudais, obviously legend. Dosiri was also someone that I never really listened to much.
Mm-hmm.
But out of all the prayers, we're going to get to the 27th night. But the 27th night, he read Surah Qaf. And I think that was the prayer that, like, between all the reciters, I felt like that was the deepest, most emotional, heartfelt prayer that I prayed.
Wow.
During my time in Mecca.
Wow.
Was led by Sheikh Dosiri. But yeah, subhanAllah, bro. All those imams are amazing.
Wow.
All of them are amazing. And they all have their thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. The fact that you were there in Mecca,
yeah,
like praying behind the people that we open our apps up to and go to YouTube on and listen to.
It's live,
different,
bro.
Wallahi.
It's crazy.
But like, even in Mecca, I heard like it's hectic out there as well. You know?
Yeah.
So like, how was it as bad as this? Not bad. I don't say bad.
You know.
Was it as crazy as they say it is?
SubhanAllah, bro. This, I don't even like saying this term because it just seems kind of crazy, but it's somewhat similar to how the Day of Judgment is described.
SubhanAllah,
bro. Because imagine like 2 million people are in the same area.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like it was more than that. I don't know how much.
First of all, that number to me is outrageous.
Bro,
I'm trying to picture that.
It's like double the people in this city. Imagine everyone's, and that's the people in Masjid al-Haram, which is in the vicinity of where the Kaaba is.
Oh my gosh.
So now, imagine, bro, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he in Surah Al-Qari'ah, Allah, he says, يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ, that on the Day of Judgment, the people, mankind, will be like scattered moths.
Wow.
And that's what it felt like. It felt like it was chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
All you hear is ya hajj. The guards are just yelling at everyone, saying like, move this way, move that way, and nobody's listening to the guards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the guards have a very, very hard job, Allah, you know, and may Allah reward them.
Mm-hmm.
But man, like, imagine like people, like, remember how I sent you guys that video where I was trying to go home?
Mm-hmm.
And people are just praying mm-hmm. right in front of you, so there's no path to leave. And sometimes the guards are sending you one place, and once you get there, there's another guard there saying, no, you can't go there. Go this way. Wow. Then you go that way. And then you just feel like you're just trapped in one spot, bro.
Allah.
The first day, it took us about 40 minutes to get to the Haram, right?
Yeah.
Afterwards, you realize that there's a way to walk in Mecca.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to get there usually in 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine it took us, normally it'll take you 15 minutes to go back. But imagine after, on the last 10 nights of Ramadan, going home is minimum an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum an hour. Like, no matter how quick you move, it will take you about an hour to get home.
It's not that far.
It's 15 minutes.
That's crazy.
It's 15 minutes, but it takes an hour. Because just getting out of that, like, crazy crowd, because imagine everyone's leaving at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine 2 million people leaving at the same time, all trying to get to this, like, the same exit.
Wow.
It's insane, subhanAllah. But it was chaotic, I'm not gonna lie. But you know, that's part of the experience of Ramadan in Mecca, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was chaotic, but it was amazing. Alhamdulillah.
How was, like, the overall people there, the weather, the food? The
people in Mecca.
Yeah.
Well, alhamdulillah, you know, the people of Mecca, I felt like they were welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, it's a very
fast,
like, imagine, yeah, it's a very fast pace, and it's like, how do I explain it? It's very fast pace, and imagine right now you live in a city that every year during Ramadan, during Hajj season, you get millions of people coming to your city.
Wow.
So imagine right now the city that we're in, imagine you just get 2 million visitors.
Mm-hmm.
You know how chaotic and crazy that's going to get.
Yeah.
And people from different places that have different cultures and different norms.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine all of that's going on. And at the same time, it's very business driven.
Yeah.
Like, these are the times where they make a lot of their money.
Yeah.
So the taxis are more expensive. Mm-hmm. Those are more expensive. Everything is more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine it's... like it kind of felt like, comparing the people of Mecca and Medina, I'm going to get to that, you know, in a later episode, inshallah, we're going to talk about Medina. But alhamdulillah, the people of Mecca, though, majority of them, they're very nice people.
Mm-hmm.
They're very welcoming. You know, alhamdulillah, even when we got the tailored thobes, invited us all to eat.
Oh, wow.
And that, I'm not going to lie, that was to his house, yeah.
Wow.
I'm not going to lie, that was the best meal I had in Mecca at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it was actually like, we got rice and you know, rice and chicken, bro.
Is this similar to like what you were eating out in Turkey?
It's not like Turkey. It's not like Turkey. Imagine just kind of like, it's like rice. And this one, I feel like this is like the main thing that they eat there, like the people in Mecca or the people in Saudi, is like rice and like a full chicken, bro.
Wow.
Like a full, like, kind of barbecued seasoned chicken.
Yeah.
And then, well, like, we're just all eating with our hands with a big plate.
Wow.
You know, so it was vibes, I'm not gonna lie. But he invited us in, and we went there a second time because I wanted to make some changes in one of the thobes that I got. And same thing, you just invited us in. He said, come eat with us.
Wow.
He said, imagine, it's just the hospitality that they have, bro. Is
I would
imagine unexpected guests, bro. Someone just says, yo, just come.
Yeah,
they're always ready to have someone to invite someone into their house, you know. And that's one big difference about the West. And
five-star review a lot.
Yeah, no, a lot of that, the way the hospitality that they had there, alhamdulillah, was amazing. And the food, I'm not gonna lie, bro, the food was not hitting.
Not hitting? I thought you were like, yo, it's not.
It was not hitting. I'm gonna be real. I think most people will say the same thing. Like, mm-hmm. people don't really enjoy the food in Mecca.
Wow, and you were fasting too. So, like, imagine you're breaking fasting.
Bro, so they have this chain called Al Baik. Okay. Mm-hmm. Al Baik, it's like, imagine they're like KFC or they're Popeyes.
Yeah.
It's like the Mecca, I don't know if it's actually from Mecca, but it's as much as the Arab equivalent of like chicken burgers, fried chicken, all of that. So there's a spot near the Haram. I don't even know what it was called, but we used to do, and it was kind of like a bougie version of Al Baik.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to call it fake Al Baik.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to just go there and we used to just grab like snack wraps or little burgers. I'm not going to lie, it's enough to like,
It tastes
okay.
Yeah.
It'll get you by. But most of the time in Mecca, I'm not gonna lie, was that kind of food.
Wow.
It was just like, bro, let me just eat to get full.
Yeah.
And even like the fast food, bro, the fast food is mad expensive and it's not even that good. I'm not gonna lie. Like the McDonald's was all right. KFC. Mm-hmm. KFC, bro. KFC was playing games with us, bro. I'll show you a video later. Bro, imagine we had like a chicken sandwich and all it was just like one like bun, chicken strip
on the bun,
bro. We literally opened it, half of it was bread.
You sent the snap.
You seen that video. And you try to tell them, like, imagine you tell them, like, oh, okay, because you know, I don't like mayo, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all, no mayo. I say, okay, I swear to God, they're not taking off the mayo.
You eat it?
Yeah, I can still eat it. It's not that crazy. I can eat mayo, but I prefer not to have it. But some of them, most of the time you tell them something custom, they're going to say okay, but they're not going to give it to you.
Yeah.
And they know you're not going to fight it. So, and there's the lineup is so long that they know you're just going to eat it.
Just take your L, hug it.
So take your L, Wallahi, charge it. But yeah, Wallahi, the food was not that great. The weather was super hot.
Oh, I can imagine.
My God, some days, alhamdulillah, was not bad. But Wallahi, some days it was plus 40. And imagine plus 40 and the wind blowing in your face.
That's crazy. Like hot wind?
Hot wind. Oh, you can't even breathe. And then there's like dust getting in your eyes, sand getting in your eyes. So leaving during the daytime was tough.
Did you get used to it or every day was...
Every day was a struggle, bro. Oh, there's no getting used to it. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, the first couple of days it was just like plus like 35.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not gonna lie, that felt very hot. But you kind of get adjusted, but at the same time, like it's plus 40 is plus 40.
Can't
you know?
Do anything about that.
And then everything indoors is AC.
Yeah.
So the minute you come out, you get slapped with it with the heat, you know. So a lot, bro. It was And imagine why you're fasting too.
Mm.
So it was
Allah.
Tough, but alhamdulillah, you know, it comes with it.
Yeah, it the heat it. While you're fasting, no while water fasting, to drink.
No water. And you're walking back and forth to the haram.
Non-stop, mashallah. Yeah. No, but alhamdulillah, you got to at least experience, you know?
Yeah, what something. It was like there. I was out there one time for just 2 hours, bro. And I almost died. Like, I almost broke my fast. Like, that's how bad it was. So,
they were built different.
Allah, shout out to them. But I feel like also when you live there, maybe you develop some sort of
resistance
to it. Yeah. A little bit. It's still very high. Like I said, 40 is always 40.
40
is always 40. Plus 40 is plus 40.
Yeah. Wow. But then the Umrah that you were doing, what was the difference between like the first one compared to like the second and third?
Okay. So the second Umrah, that one was probably the most hectic one.
As far as
the second Umrah, like that was the hardest one. Okay. So that one, so if you want to do another Umrah, you have to go to another spot, like where there's a checkpoint,
mm-hmm.
which is for us, because we already did the Umrah, we're already in Mecca, we went to Masjid Aisha. Mm-hmm. So that was the Miqat. So all I'm going to say is we went there around Maghrib time, so around 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
And I left the haram at 6 a.m., bro.
12 hours?
12 hours.
Oh.
The whole process of it was 12 hours. The umrah itself was not 12 hours, but everything that happened during that day.
Like the traveling, the
going to Masjid Aisha, coming back, getting into the haram. So imagine for the second umrah, the reason why it was like that, it was because it was an odd night.
Oh, okay.
So we did it on the 23rd night of Ramadan,
mm-hmm.
and it was a Friday.
Oh,
Friday odd night.
That's deep.
You know? But inshallah, if this was Laylatul Qadr, bro, alhamdulillah.
Inshallah.
It was amazing. But imagine, so we got to the haram close to Isha time.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why it was very hard was because originally it was going to be me, Bilal, Mukhtar, Abdishakur, and Ismail. So it was going to be us five. Mm-hmm. It was just going to be the guys.
Yeah.
The first time we did it with my mom and
his
their parents. Yeah. Okay. So now, last minute, Bills calls me and he's like, yo, the parents want to slide.
Oh.
Deep down, I knew what kind of day it was going to be because I'm like, it was Friday, odd night, but I can't say no.
Yeah.
Obviously, if they want to do it, I'm not going to say, oh, you can't come. So I said, khalas, okay, we're going to go. So, me and Bills are together. Lughman, Abshkur, and Ismail are together. Before I left the building, Bills comes to me and he's like, yo, he didn't feel comfortable doing another Umrah.
Like?
Because this is the thing. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he never did more than one Umrah at one time. So that's why the scholars, they said that there's nothing that stops you from doing multiple Umrahs. But it's not the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And most of the scholars, they say to wait 7 to 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
So that day, I want to say it was like the sixth day going into seven.
Mm-hmm.
So because it wasn't like a full seven, and he was like, yo, I'm going to fall back.
Yeah.
So deep down, that means I'm going and the moms are going. Oh. So now I'm going. Now I'm going with the moms, and I'm kind of like, I'm the only guy there for now.
Yeah.
So now I'm calling Abdishkur and Mukhtar and them. So I'm waiting for them to come,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, "Yo, we're at Al-Baik. These guys are trying to eat.
You guys are eating."
So as we're waiting for them, bro, it took them about. Imagine. So I called them back after an hour, and I'm like, "Yo, where are you guys?"
Mm-hmm.
They're still at Al-Baik, because the lineup for Al-Baik is insane. So they were still there. So me, I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm going to have to do this with the moms, and it's just me.
And you're allowed to do it for even their moms?
Like, I'm not doing it for them. No, like I'm just there with them.
Okay.
You know, so like they can do the Umrah by themselves. Yeah. I'm just there present.
Yeah, okay.
To kind of like help out. Like if the nice thing is when you have a lot of us guys, when people are like pushing and stuff, we can kind of stop them from, like, we can help them get by basically, mm-hmm. you know? So me, my mom, and their moms. So now, imagine before even Isha time, imagine before you get to the Haram, there's a place where like taxi cabs drop people off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we were. And imagine the guards blocked off everything. Normally, when you're wearing the Haram and you're doing Umrah, they let you in.
Yeah.
But now, even that was so crazy that they weren't letting people with the Haram in.
It's like hazardous, huh?
No, I don't know the reason behind it, but I think it was just too crazy. And most of the times, I'll be honest, the guards, I don't know if they're doing stuff based on their orders. I don't know if they're doing stuff based on what they want to do. But most of the time, their job is hold the fort.
Wow.
Because the thing is, they can't stop millions of people. I'm not going to lie, you're going to get bodied. So yeah. Their job is to hold the fort as long as possible.
Yeah.
So imagine, so we prayed Isha basically on the street. And after Isha, well, even before that. So my mom and them were able to like get by, but me, they stopped me and they weren't letting the men go through.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way I was going to do it was I'd had to hop a fence.
Oh, wow.
Right, it wasn't really a fence. It was like a little barricade. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you're wearing a haram. So you're naked under. You just have two garments, bro. You mess up, you're done, bro.
That's so funny.
So, and the thing is, the guards were also stopping anyone that hopped.
Yeah.
So, Allah, bro, this is crazy. Because the thing was, they were moving forward and I was stuck behind. So, yeah. I had no choice.
Yeah.
The thing is, I waited till the guards jumped on someone that hopped, then I hopped quickly.
No.
And then I got through.
Wallahi, good job.
Bro, and then, alhamdulillah, so I was able to go with them and then we prayed Isha. And then afterwards, the guards literally, like, it did some crazy. They locked arms as if like they're in like a protest. And then they were just letting people in like this. Specifically the people that are wearing like the ihram that are doing umrah.
Yeah.
So imagine we had to go through all of that just to do the umrah.
Wow.
And imagine once we got to the umrah, there's so much people.
Oh,
it's Friday
gosh.
And the odd night.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the most physical one, I'd say. And the most like the deadliest one. But at the same time, Allah is, you know, the more struggle that there is to it, the more rewards. So,
yeah.
You know, alhamdulillah, but that was the second one. The third one was kind of the closing one. So it was the 28th night, the night before the last night of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just kind of, I didn't want to go back on an odd night because I'm like, yo, I'm not going to lie, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But this one, I only did it with my brother Abdishkur and Mukhtar.
Mm-hmm.
So just us three, so it was calm.
It felt more like peaceful.
Yeah, that was just kind of like a farewell Umrah type thing. So it felt nice. It was more calm. And what I loved about that one was that we were doing tawaf at close to the time of Fajr.
Mm-hmm.
So after we finished like the tawaf, we stuck around and we prayed Fajr in the dome right in front of the Kaaba.
Wow.
So that was a different experience.
Didn't you say you went like very early to see how close you can get for Fajr? And then
you were... Bro, because the thing is, most of the time, if you're not wearing ihram, you can't even get to the dome.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So the only times where you're really going to be able to pray on the ground level is when you're performing Umrah.
Yeah.
So this was like my last opportunity. And I'm like, you know what? I'm trying to pray Fajr here. And subhanAllah, bro, that was an amazing feeling. I can't really describe it. Like, imagine you're praying and the Kaaba's like right in front of you. It was like maybe like 5-6 rows ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, it was unreal.
And no matter where you were, like, you had to just Okay, there's the Kaaba.
The Kaaba is right here, bro. It's crazy. The Qibla, you know, everyone's praying towards it. You know, you don't really have to worry about where you're facing. Like, this is the place that we've, for, you know, years, 20 plus years of our lives,
crazy. We're just the whole,
facing the same direction.
The whole world is praying towards your location.
Towards that location.
That's crazy.
And it's right in front of me.
Wow.
Yeah, no, like, that Fajr prayer was amazing.
MashaAllah.
Allah was amazing. And also, you get to see, like, where the people are, the imams are leading from as well, because we're on the ground level, you know? That was sick, too.
Wow.
That was basically the last Umrah. The last Umrah was nice. It was just more, like, it was enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And, bro, you know, actually, what happened in the last Umrah was crazy. So, that was my third attempt at trying to go for the Black Stone. The day two, okay. I didn't even attempt it. Because the second Umrah was the odd night and the
That's
Friday.
Too much.
I still touched the Yemeni corner. Mm-hmm. So I still was able to touch the Kaaba, so which is, you know, at least decent. But the Black Stone, I'm like, you know, I'm not even going to try that. Yeah. But now the third day, I'm like, you know what? This is my final mission. I'm going to try to touch it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, I don't want to be too crazy. If I can't touch it, I can't touch it. Khalas, you know, like it's not a big deal. So after the first couple of rounds, the trick is, as every round, every tawaf round that you're doing, you just kind of closing. Yeah. Get closer. Now, we got to the point where we're very close to it. But there's a point where you're very close and you think you're there, but you're not.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, like, once you get to the middle point where it's like the Black Stone people. Is there, like between, like, let's say, like that last
turn,
yeah. The last line. So the Yemeni corner is at the end and the Black Stone is there.
Yeah.
So we're like halfway or two thirds of the way. But when you get to that spot, people are like pushing forward and there's people at the Black Stone there, right? So those people are pushing back.
Wow.
So whoever was at the Black Stone, most of the time, bro, there's some crazy guys. Because imagine people are pushing you and we're getting pushed back.
Yeah.
So we tried to kind of like maneuver around and wallahi, bro, the way people were just kind of like bumping each other, I had a bag, a string bag. And so me, Abdushkur and Mukhtar, we're trying to grind. We're like, you know, let's just try this, you know. But let's not, we weren't like really pushing people. We're just trying to see if we can just ride the wave and touch it.
It's like a current.
It's like a current, exactly. So now imagine, as I'm doing that, someone pulls the string off my bag and breaks it.
Oh wow.
Because people behind you, some people are just crazy. Some people are pushing, some people are actually like trying to pull you and stuff. Because they're trying to do whatever to get there. So someone pulled my bag, and then when the string broke, I said, checkmate, you know, like I'm done.
Yeah.
So then I'm just like, you know what? I saw Abdushkur was a little bit in front of me. So I'm like, yo, Abdushkur, toss me your bag, I'll hold it for you. So me, I'm calling it.
Tickle for the team.
So
real
I grabbed his bag and he was in front of me, so I was kind of like leaning towards him to kind of like push him a little bit forward.
Yeah.
And then he went and then he stretched out and wallah, he touched it.
Wow.
He touched the Black Stone. Yeah. So that was an assist, you know?
He's a goal.
I wasn't able to touch it, but I gave him an assist.
Yeah.
But imagine, bro, as he was touching it, someone pulled the top of his ihram down. So he had his bottom piece, but the top piece, someone pulled it. And the thing was, that area was so chaotic that it fell on the ground and there's no grabbing.
No.
I tried to put my foot down. I tried to grab it. Impossible. It was too chaotic.
So
this guy, the rest of the Umrah, bro, the rest of the Umrah, may Allah accept his Umrah, you know? But the rest of the Umrah, he only had the bottom piece.
Oh,
so this guy was walking around doing everything and everyone's like, yo, where's the top? And he's like, I lost it.
Oh.
Bro, that's how hectic it gets. And that's why, like, if you can't get to the Black Stone, just can't get to it. You know, like, it's not a crazy thing.
And you, like, can't pick up speed and jump and just...
Well, like, some people, bro, one guy was trying to, it was a short guy. One brother from Toronto was telling me, he's like, yo, someone's trying to climb over me. There's a small guy, you know, he's trying to get on his back. And some people are crazy. Because the thing is, obviously, like, it's the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But at the same time, if you can't do it, you can't do it. And Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, he said, when he kissed a Black Stone and he said, I know you're a stone that can't benefit me and you can't harm me. And if it wasn't for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kissing you, I wouldn't have kissed you. which means that it's not like the craziest thing.
Okay.
It's not like if you don't do it, your umrah doesn't count.
No, it's like just, I'm doing it because the Prophet
did it and I want to follow his footsteps, you know? So, like, bro, I learned from that. I'm like, you know what? If I make it normally, I make it. If I don't, I don't. You know, unfortunately, Abdul Shakur had to be shirtless, bro. Funny, I have a video of him shirtless after, like once we shaved our heads. I filmed it. And I'm just like, yo, there's a deep story behind why this guy's shirtless.
For what it's worth, he got to touch the black stone.
Touch it. So at least he got something out of it.
That's crazy. Someone just ripped it off of him. Huh? Was it like sturdy or was it?
Because I think easily the top, terrible. The bottom piece, you tighten it, and the thing was the bottom piece after like the two other times we wore like
belt.
It wasn't even a belt,
string.
Like a side bag, like a fanny pack.
Okay.
So you just wear that and it holds it basically. Yeah. It's kind of like a belt. So the bottom was good, but the top is actually the most annoying part because the top is just on you like this, you know?
Yeah.
But someone just pulled it. And you know, like it's sad, but you know? But that's what I'm saying about like how so each funny. Umrah
has its own
story. Yeah. You know, each has a life of its own, mm-hmm. you know? So alhamdulillah, bro, all three umrahs were different in their own ways. And, you know, I just pray Allah accept it for me.
I mean, me too, Allah. And I'm happy for you, bro.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Yeah, I feel like this has been going on for a while. I'm not going to lie. I thought I was going to be able to pack it up in just one episode. How long has it been now?
Around an hour-ish.
It's crazy.
Wow. And I'm just telling
you. We might have to just put it in two. But like you see, there's literally so many stories. Yeah. And I feel like there's still so many more.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, who knows? Maybe we'll just do it into two parts.
Drop it like twice this week.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we've been gone for a while, you know.
Yeah,
so
we've been lacking.
We'll do a two-part episode. We'll drop two episodes.
And we still have to do Medina. I have to hear those stories too.
Yeah, Medina too. Medina has its own wallahi. Medina's amazing in its own way. That's you know, cliffhanger.
I'm so excited for it, mashallah. Okay,
yeah,
so I guess we can wrap it up.
We'll pause
for now
here.
And to be continued.
I guess to be continued. Stay tuned. There's going to be another episode coming up soon, inshallah.
Inshallah.
I hope you guys enjoy the stories and hopefully you guys can take something from it. And, you know, may Allah accept the umrah of everyone who's able to go. And, you know, may Allah allow you and everyone else who's tuning in to get the opportunity to go to Umrah in Ramadan.
Allahumma.
Ramadan is different, wallah. Yeah. Ramadan is different.